الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد So we ended yesterday talking about various different ailments, issues, challenges, setbacks and problems that occur in the world and what our approach should be to these things. Now today, I want to go more into the approach. So we took the example of somebody who has maybe an infertility problem or somebody who's got an eczema issue or any other issue for that matter. Speaking problems, development, speech development issues, young children, whatever it may be. So, as I said, go find the best doctor. That's not a problem. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that any illness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused to descend, has put into this world, He's put a cure for it as well. Sometimes we know the cure, at other times we just don't know what the cure is yet. Maybe some people know the cure, others don't know the cure. That's a possibility. So, there's absolutely nothing wrong with looking for a cure. You should do it. But as Muslims, I mean, what makes us different then? If everybody goes and looks to the allopathic method or the naturopathic method or whatever it is, and everybody goes to, I mean, maybe you go to a Yunani doctor or you go to a Ayurvedic doctor or homeopathic doctor, whatever it is, fine. But what makes a Muslim different? Hasn't the Prophet ﷺ told us anything beyond just going and finding a cure for something? Aren't there any other cures? So there's actually two other streams of cures that unfortunately many of us miss out. And we need to make them part of our approach to these things as believers, because that's a heritage. That's a legacy the Prophet ﷺ has left behind for us, which unfortunately many of us are abandoning. So these additional two streams, the one stream, as I said, was either Western medicine or Eastern medicine, allopathic, Ayurvedic, whatever it is. The other two streams, one is the spiritual stream, and the other one is the prophetic medicine stream. So that's what we're going to explore today, inshallah. So the spiritual method, there's at least five methods in that. There's at least five things we need to do in that. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Qur'an being a shifa. The Qur'an is a shifa. Suratul Fatiha is a shifa. You have a problem, recite Suratul Fatiha. Suratul Fatiha is supposed to be a shifa. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ Shifa wa rahmah. We've revealed from the Quran that which is a shifa. There's numerous shifa. In fact, the great scholar Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, his student Ibn al-Qayyim says about him that whenever his shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah used to be troubled about something, this is when you're troubled about something, when you're perturbed, when you're disconcerted about something, and you want to find some kind of relief, contentment, he would take all of the verses in the Quran that had sukoon, sakina mentioned in it. There's two in Surah Al-Fath, for example. Right? So there's about five or six verses in the Quran that have the word sakina in it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused sakina to descend upon them, tranquility. He would recite these verses, and he would find comfort. Now, someone might say that's, you don't find that reading these verses are, you don't find that mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. You don't. This is a matter of experience. Somehow, he had been inspired that if I read these several verses, then I'm going to find benefit. And then he tried and it worked. So, if it works for you, alhamdulillah, but just don't insist it's from the Sunnah. There's many things like that in the Quran. Anybody who says that you can't do any of these things because the Prophet ﷺ hasn't told you to do it, they're literalists. They've basically very restricted the religion. Even some of the great imams like Ibn Taymiyyah is allowing, even though it doesn't mention in any hadith that if you read all of these five or six verses, you'll get sukoon or sakina. But it's some matter of experience. Yes, you can't insist that it's from the sunnah because it's not. But the Quran has a shifa in it, in general. And if you find the shifa verses, alhamdulillah, use them. That's why we also have the manzil, which is a selection of various different surahs and clusters of verses that are supposed to be beneficial. These are all based on tajruba. A lot of these are based on experience. So I can't insist that it's going to work for you, but if it's worked for me, alhamdulillah, you can't deny that. If something works for me, none of you can deny that. It's worked for me. Now, alhamdulillah, if you want to try it and it works for you, then mubarak. And if it doesn't, well, sorry. Right? But that's basically what it is. As long as you don't insist that they're on the sunnah. You know, some people, they after salat, they put their fingers on their eyes and they say, ya nuru, they invoke Allah with his name, Nur. Again, this is not from hadith. But if somebody found this to be beneficial for eyesight, so alhamdulillah if they want to do this. And there's various other things like this. As long as you don't insist this is from the sunnah and you start implementing another way, you must do this and you must do that. You can recommend it that it's benefited me, maybe it'll benefit you, because the names of Allah have power. The names of Allah are very powerful. When you invoke Allah with a name, that's why he has 99 names, so that you can invoke him. If you've got an issue and you're feeling a constraintment, well, call to Allah by Ya Fattah, O one who brings opening. You've got a subtle issue that needs some really elaborate solution. Call on to Allah with Ya Latif. You've got an issue of sustenance, you can't earn a living. Ya Razzaq. Right? Learn the names and call on to Him with these names. That's why they're there for. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe in one of the subsequent nights we'll deal with this, but or maybe we'll deal with it when we do the Al-Hizbul Adham Maqra. If you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's du'as, none of them, hardly any of them, jump into asking directly. Like, oh Allah, give me this. Most of them, he builds up the theme first. He praises Allah. La ilaha illallah al-azim al-haleem. La ilaha illallah rabbul arsh al-azim. He builds up the story. He builds up the relationship. He puts Allah into the high place that He is. He praises Allah. Then he asks. In fact, in one famous dua, he says, Allahumma inni as'aluk. O Allah, I ask you, bikulli ismin huwa lak. With every name of yours. Right? With every name of yours, sammayta bihi nafsak. Which you have given yourself. Every name of yours that you've called yourself by. Because Allah has multiple names. أو أنزلته في كتابك, or it's a name that you have caused, you have revealed in your book. أو استأثرت, what's the other one? أو علمته أحدا من خلقك, or you've taught to only some specific slaves of yours. أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك, or you've preferred to keep it by yourself in the knowledge that only you have. Now, can you think, who can even think about this? Imagine, who can even think of these things? To ask Allah by all of these names, to even know that He's got names like this, and then to know that they're going to be powerful. So then He calls with all of these names, and then He says, أَن تَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعَ قُلُوبِنَا. That you then make the Qur'an the spring of our hearts, and He carries on. Now, you think that dua is not going to be accepted when you've asked Allah with all of those names? So we have to learn the adab of dua. But anyway, the main thing is that the Qur'an is a shifa. So, if there are certain verses that are of benefit, there's many duas from the Qur'an. Those are Rabbana, Hablana, Min Azwajina, Wa Dhurriyatina, Qurratha, and numerous duas. Surah Al-Fatiha, number one. Number two, Allahu Akbar, dua in general. So either the dua is from the Qur'an, either the verses are from the Qur'an you can use, or you can use dua itself. Now, as you know, dua is very powerful. But it's the way you ask that's important. The time you ask. So if you ask at tahajjud time. As I told you, I discussed these remedies a while back in another masjid in London. Just now, maybe 1.5 weeks ago. And this brother comes to me after salat. And he says, you know what? Exactly what you said, this happened to me. My wife started doing dua for a child at tahajjud time, and alhamdulillah we were blessed with a child. Because tahajjud time is a very, very powerful time. The time when you're closest to Allah, when He is willing to give. So you wake up at that time and you ask, and now we've got an opportunity because we're generally going to be awake for suhoor at that time. That's the time for tahajjud. So just finish your suhoor. Even if you finish at that imsak time, your imsak time is a buffer zone, right? So you finish at that time, and then the rest of the minutes until fajr, you just used to do some tahajjud and some dua. It's wonderful, right? So don't miss that time. Try to make sure that you spend at least these last 10 days with that. Number 3, istighfar. Seeking forgiveness opens up the pathway. Sometimes we are deprived of something, whether that be a child or some other sickness or some other blessing or some other bounty or some other need because of our sins. They've caused a blockage, a prevention, an obstacle. So do istighfar and Allah will start giving you. And this is from the Quran as well. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the great tabi'een. He was once sitting there and somebody came to him and said, you know, I've got issues with my crops, my farm, whatever. He said, istaghfirillah. Go and seek forgiveness from Allah. Another person comes along and he asks about rain or something. And again, he said, istaghfirillah. Somebody else came and said, I've got problem with children. He said, istaghfirillah. Somebody was sitting with him. He said, Shaykh, what is this? Paracetamol for everybody? You know what I mean. I don't mean paracetamol, but you know, like one stop shop, one solution for everybody. So he said, this is from the Quran. I'm not making this up. Allah says in Surah Nuh, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Go, say, seek forgiveness from Allah. And He will literally shower the rains upon you and give you crops and He will give you assistance and so on and so forth. This is all from the Quran. So do istighfar. Maybe that's the prevention. So that's number 3. Number 4, sadaqah. Sadaqah is really powerful. Sadaqah miftahul faraj. It's the key to opening. Because when you want to give, what is a sadaqah? The difference between a sadaqah and a hadiyah, right, is that sadaqah is given to earn reward from Allah. And a hadiyah, a gift, is given to create mutual affection and love. So if I give you a gift to create a bond, that's hadiyah. I shouldn't be intending sadaqah in that, because that's different. Right? Sadaqah is given to attract the reward from Allah. Now, of course, if you give somebody a gift with a good intention, you'll also get reward, but that's a secondary aspect. The first aspect is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, تَهَادَوْ تَحَابُوا. Mutually give gifts to one another and it will create love between you, which we need in the Muslim community anyway. So, sadaqah. We had a big sheikh from the Indian subcontinent, big muhaddith. He was, how old was he? 70 or something? Sheikh Yunus? He was about 70 or something. Never got married. And he taught Bukhari for, I think, 40-something years. He taught Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Right? And that's all he used to do. He used to just sit and teach and learn. That's it. He never got married. Right? His family was the books. So, he passed away about several months ago, rahimahullah, but about 1.5 years ago or so, he was in the haram, after Hajj or after Umrah, I can't remember, but he became extremely ill to such a degree that people thought that this was it. One of my teachers was with him, who was his student, right? He was with him, and he related to us that during that illness, the sheikh just started giving huge amounts of sadaqah, charity. And charity brings about, charity is loved by Allah. Because that's part of Allah's scheme, that if God gives you, then you give to others. Give from that we have given you. Right? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So give charity for the sake of cure. You've got an issue, you've got a hindrance, give charity. This is not a fundraiser right now. I mean, this is just purely seriously, this is all that we're speaking about. Giving charity will bring about a lot of opening, right? So you've got infertility and all you're doing is going running after doctors and checkups and tests and this, that and the other, or any other sickness, and you don't use Quran as shifa, you don't use istighfar, you don't make du'as at special times, you don't give sadaqah, then what's the difference between us and anybody else? Number five, go to the haram. Make a special trip to the sacred precincts, Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, and go there with your need. Go for Umrah, or even better, go for Hajj. Go to Arafah, go to the Multazam, and make a dua. Believe me, duas down there are accepted like ajeeb, right? And you know, there's a book called Fadail Hajj. Full of stories of the past, people who used to go there with a need. And also, people who used to go there to seek forgiveness for some wrong that they had done. And mashallah, that would be the changing point, because the sentiment with which they would go. Today, in our busy lifestyles, I mean, I generally mention this in Hajj time, that we get the 2 weeks expedited package because that's all we got time off. We have no time to prepare beforehand. In fact, we're sometimes working on the same day as our flight. Our flight is in it, we still have to work that day, and then we go. And then so when you get on the flight, that we say, oh, okay, you know, now let me start preparing. You have to build up the sentiment, and you get your response down there. It's amazing what you can get down there. There's many du'as that get accepted. There's an interesting story about this person in Medina, Basra. Basra is in Iraq today, right? His name was Ka'nabi. That's his title. He was I don't know what you guys call him here, but he was a guy who used to just be like a gangster type, right? Drinking with his friends. He's a Muslim, but he's drinking and loves holding parties and getting together with his friends. So one day, he's got red trousers on. Now, when that's mentioned in the source that he's got red trousers on, I mean, that may not sound very unusual to us, because men even wear pink shirts today, right? It's not very unusual, unfortunately, right? Pink shirts, pink trousers, I mean, it's not a big deal. Gender neutrality, gender fluidity is the new, ya Allah. But anyway, he had read that, it actually mentions that in the story, it's in the Kitab al-Tawwabin of Ibn al-Qayyim, I think, the Hanbali scholar. So, he had red trousers on, and he's waiting around for his friends to come. He's invited them over. Now, I mean, there's no WhatsApp in those days, there's no Facebook, there's no Twitter, so you can't see any updates, your friends are coming, you just have to walk around. Suddenly, he sees this entourage coming along, of this really dignified-looking individual, right? Very honorable individual with people behind him. So, he's kind of struck by this, so he goes up and says, who is this? He says, they said, this is Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, one of the great muhaddithin. If you read the 6 books of hadith, you'll see him, haddathana Shu'bah, you'll see him in there. Right? Major scholar, major hadith scholar. So, who understands Arabic here? Right? A few brothers. You know what he said when they said Shu'bah? He said, ay Shu'bah. I'll translate that in English. It's almost like colloquial. He said, what the heck is a Shu'bah? Like, what's a Shu'bah? Generally, when you say ayyu shay'in Shu'bah, you generally use aish for something, not for someone. In Arabic, there's different words for people and there's different words for things. So man, who is that? Ma, what is that? Right? So he says, what's a Shu'bah? You can just imagine the approach, right? So they said, don't you know he's the big muhaddith, hadith scholar? So he goes up to Shu'bah and he says, hadithni, relate a hadith to me, transmit a hadith to me. Right? Now, Shu'bah is a hadith scholar. He is used to transmitting hadith to hadith students in a respectable manner, not just in the middle of the street. It's against adab to relate just a hadith like that with the full transmission. So he says, you don't look like a student of hadith, he said. So you know what he does? Ka'nabi, he pulls out a dagger and he says, hadithni aw ajrahuk. He says, you better relate a hadith to me, otherwise I'll wound you, I'll stab you. I don't know what mind, I don't know what he'd taken, I don't know what the story was, but there was some... So Shu'bah says, fine. So he relates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, حَدَّثَنَا سَوَنْسَوْا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you have no haya, modesty, shyness, bashfulness, then do as you wish. Meaning that if you've lost your haya, then you'll just do as you wish. It's not a command to do as you wish. It's a statement of fact that if you lose your haya, then it doesn't make a difference. You've lost your iman, basically. That made such an impact on this young man. He came back home and he broke all the beer bottles or wine bottles, whatever it was. And he says to his mother, when my friends come and when they arrive, feed them, but tell them I'm gone. He went to Medina Munawwara. And there he changes and he becomes a hadith scholar. And you will find his names in among the six books of hadith. You will find it. حَدَّثَنَا الْقَعْنَبِيِّ. He goes down in history that until the day of judgment, when these hadith books and their transmissions will be read, his name will also be read. And yet he starts off as a gangster with red trousers and drinking. Now that's the amazing thing. You need a desire. You need that changing moment. And tonight could be that moment, because some of the ulama mentioned that when Friday night, because in Islam the night precedes the day, right? The night comes before the day. After Maghrib, the next day begins for us. So right now it's Friday already. And when that night is on an odd night of Ramadan, when a Friday night in Ramadan is on an odd night, then is a good likelihood that it could be Laylatul Qadr. So just like the 27 has a huge likelihood, tonight could also be, it's an odd night anyway. It's a Friday night on top of that. So there's a greater possibility. So let us do more tonight, inshallah. And then tomorrow's Friday. Okay, going back to our topic. So we mentioned all of these things. The last one we mentioned was what? Going for Umrah or Hajj and going with a special need. And your need, inshallah, will be... So those who have these problems, have you been for Umrah? Have you been for Hajj? To go and, you know, to ask your need from Allah? This is our house. Okay, so that was... This is not an exclusive list. This is the five main things that we should attempt to do. That was the second stream. Now the third stream is the prophetic medicine. Right? So in the prophetic medicine, there are approximately seven major things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or Allah in the Quran have mentioned as containing shifa. Now for the sake of shifa, whatever problem we have, or whether you got no problem, we want to introduce them into our diet so that we can have shifa. Right? So what are these seven? Let's start off with the Quran. Honey. Asalim musaffa. Fihi shifa'un linnas. Honey has shifa. Right? So now we have honey, and mashallah, you guys are proud of your honey, right? And you compete with New Zealand on their honey, right? Go and get some good honey. Not like just some cheap honey. Go and get some good honey. Preferably farmer's market honey is good because it's local, takes the local pollen, which is what causes us issues. So it's better, but otherwise go and get any good raw honey, right? With the bee venom and everything inside. And just have a bit of that every day. Introduce that in our, you know, I mean, our sisters are here listening. Introduce that in our diet, whether that be with breakfast or last thing at night, at least half a teaspoon or whatever, with the niyyah of shifa. Oh Allah, you've put shifa in there. I've got these issues. We have these issues, or we have no issues. Oh Allah, give us shifa through this. Now remember, when something is a shifa, it doesn't mean you abuse it either. I was once sitting with a guy, an older man, older person who's got diabetes. And there was a kilo jar of honey there from Costco. You guys have Costco here? No, right? It's this big cash and carry like store, so this big kilo of honey. So in his tea, he puts 4 tablespoons. Not teaspoons, tablespoons. I said, what are you doing? He said, shifa. I said, shifa is in conventional amounts. You don't drown the whole tub and say that this is shifa. I mean, you kill yourself, right? What are you doing? You know, there has to be a conventional way of doing something. Just because something is shifa doesn't mean you abuse it. So there's ways of taking honey in the best way, you know, in the best way. So anyway, number one is honey. So that's quite easy to get. That's something which is easily available. And mashallah, you guys seemingly have good honey here in this country anyway. So alhamdulillah, number one. Number two is the black seed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the black seed has a cure for everything except death. Why don't we take black seed? Now I know black seed is not easy to take. It's actually quite sharp and pungent and quite strong. But now you can actually get capsules, you can get the you can get the seed, you can get the oil, the extract. You can get it in all forms. Just for the sake of shifa, add a few black seeds to your food. You won't even taste it. You know, it won't even make a difference. However you want to take the capsules. But for the sake of shifa, if you've got infertility or any other problems, hay fever or diabetes or whatever, take it for shifa along with your other medicine. Like if the Prophet ﷺ is saying that, then why not take it? Have you given it a try? Right? So make it part of your holistic as a Muslim. That's number two. Number three, Zamzam. Now that these first two things are quite easily available. Honey and black seed. Zamzam is becoming a premium now. In Umrah or Hajj, in Makkah or Medina, you drink the stuff. And you waste the stuff as well. A lot of people are wasted. They drink a bit, they throw it. And then you fill a few bottles up, you have, you know, your... And as soon as you start departing from Makkah to Jeddah, suddenly that Zamzam starts becoming more valuable by the mile. Right, have you noticed that? It starts becoming more valuable by the mile because you only can take so much. So, you can extend your Zamzam as well, by the way. It's proven in Hadith that you could do that. There's a group of people that came to the Prophet ﷺ from a tribe that lived very far away. And they were going to build a masjid, they had some issues, so they said, can you give us some water? Some water to pray on. He gave him some. And they said, by the time we get there, this water is going to evaporate because, you know, they had a long journey and it's very hot. He said, it's okay. Mudduhu bilma. Keep extending it with additional water. So if you have Zamzam, you're only going to have a bit. Extend it with additional water. Put some of Zamzam in a whole liter of water. And again, drink some water for the sake of shifa. Because Zamzam is for what it's drunk for. The hadith mentions that. You make a dua before it, it's accepted anyway. So that's number three. Number four. Anybody know what number four is? Olive is not considered a shifa. Olive has many health benefits and so, but I don't know if it's ever been mentioned as a shifa. So it's good. You should do olives, olive oil, etc. But in terms of what's directly mentioned as having shifa, did somebody else say something? Huh? Again, watin, the fig is a nice thing. I don't know if it's mentioned as having shifa specifically. Ajwa dates, the expensive ones, right? Ajwa dates, they're supposed to have shifa, and the pits of ajwa as well. So that's four and five. Ajwa dates and the pits. So here you may not be able to find the ground pits, but in Saudi you can. You can buy the ajwa powder. He bought some? The pits or the ajwa itself? Yeah, the ajwa. Ajwa is the most expensive date, I think. It's one of the most expensive dates. Right? But, again, it's a premium. So when you can have some, then have some. Right? I mean, you can't have that like honey. Because Australia doesn't produce ajwa. Maybe one of you can grow it here or something. Bring the plants over or something. But ajwa and ajwa dates. Okay, these things we all know about now. These five things we generally know about. Some of them are easy, some of them are expensive, some of them are not so easy. Then the other two things. One is called senna. Senna shouldn't be difficult. You should be able to find that in health food stores. Right? That's mentioned as having shifa. Senna, you'll find it. S-E-N-N-A. Right? I think they use senna as a laxative as well. Right? And number seven is qustal hindi. Al-Qust al-Hindi, which is the costus root. Again, that's not something which you may find everywhere. But in Medina Munawwara, I've got a friend. He's from South Africa. Mufti Ayub Jina, his name is. He sells all of these, you know, health products. And I bought a collection of these seven things from him. It's all mixed together. Zamzam, Ajwa, Qust al-Hindi, all of these seven. And he's told me how many people it's benefited. In fact, he himself, I hope he doesn't mind me telling you this, but I was with him eating. He invited us and he was having dessert afterwards. And he says, a few years ago, my diabetes was so bad that I couldn't eat sweet. But I made a shifa, I made some kind of a concoction using the different shifa products, and alhamdulillah, you know, I'm much better today. Right? So don't underestimate these things. Bring these things into our diet, whatever you can, you know, whatever's available for you. I'm not joking, you know, who's got allergies here? Right? The thing about allergies, right, is that if you feel it coming on, the histamines, right, you feel it coming on, and then if you don't capture it and take a tablet and, you know, do something about it straight away, take an antihistamine, then it hits properly, then after that you're down for 3 days, right? You get a full-fledged cold, that's what generally happens. So what I try to do, I keep antihistamines with me, but when you're fasting, you can't take an antihistamine, or sometimes you don't have one. And in, you know, when people go for Hajj, they always come back with like some kind of cold or something. 2 years ago when I went for Hajj, I came back with nothing, alhamdulillah. Right? Because every time I start feeling that, or another pain, I'm not joking about this. You hold your nose. You hold that part of the body. And 7 times read the following dua. It's mentioned in the hadith. Allahumma rabban nas. Adhhib al-ba's. Washfi. Anta shafi. La shifa'a illa shifa'uka shifa'an. La yughadiru saqaman. It means, O Allah, Lord of the people, remove this difficulty, remove this illness, right? And grant cure, because you are the curer. And there is no cure except your cure, which is such a cure that no illness can go beyond it. And I'm not joking, I felt the allergy coming on, I'm holding my nose, I read this 7 times and I'm like, and alhamdulillah goes away. I do it again, you know, several times, and sometimes I think, this is not going to work this time, it's too much magic, right? But it's not magic, it's just you need the yaqeen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't do this, right? Learn this dua. You have a pain. My children, when they have a little pain somewhere, they come to me or my wife, we read something on them, alhamdulillah, they're fine. This placebo effect, whatever you want to call it, nothing serious, alhamdulillah, it works. But you're just getting them used to reading. That's why there's a few du'as you should read every morning and evening. Number one, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Along with قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. The 3 quls. I know you have 4 quls. The 4th qul, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, is actually not for protection. It's actually for exoneration from shirk. When you read قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, the idea is to say, I don't do shirk. That's the idea, right? So قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. These two verses, surahs, Nas and Falak, they were actually revealed for protection, and they actually helped the Prophet ﷺ remove his magic on him. So don't underestimate them. Every morning and evening read them. Okay? So along with that, then read these 2 other du'as. Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa sami'ul alim. Which means, in the name of Allah, through whose name, or with whose name, nothing in the heavens or the earth can harm. What a powerful dua, right? That one, and the other one is أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقٍ. I seek refuge in the complete words of Allah from every evil He has created. Morning and evening, inshallah, you and your children will be protected. Whether that be from jinn, magic, you don't have to then run to ruqya people, right, and pay thousands of dollars or whatever, right? From, inshallah, from debilitating illness and all the rest of it. We need to bring this into our life. So bring these du'as into our life day in, day out. The 2 du'as that I mentioned and the 3, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Memorize the du'a for pain. اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّ النَّاسِ أَذْهِبِ الْبَأْسِ. Inshallah, if I'm around, I'll write it for you, or maybe we'll print it out and give it to everybody, or you can ask our local imams here, right, later. Na'am? Or you put it on the website. There you go, and put it on the board. Yes, khalas. Right? And bring these shifa things inside, and the spiritual shifa, the du'as, right, and all of that. And inshallah, we will have a more holistic life, because we'll be connected to Allah. We're doing for the sake of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for shifa. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessing. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Thank you.